You might think we're going backwards because we've already talked about listening, but some of you know that I took a writing leave, and I totally rewrote the listening chapter and repented all week. I didn't just do the listening chapter. I got through about half of the book, but I want us to look at this because I significantly overhauled it. All right. We mentioned that this class is not about marriage. It's called the Marriage Enrichment Class. This is the Marriage Enrichment book, but it's not about marriage. If you focus on your marriage, you will be the most miserable person. You will turn to your spouse and look to them as a savior. Your spouse every single day will disappoint you. Just like you look in the mirror and every single day you disappoint yourself. How surprising is that, right? So marriage is about having a mirror in front of you. Your spouse is like a mirror to show how impatient and rude and sometimes hostile and uncaring. Did I mention selfish? That you are and I am. Now, listening is a way of yielding to the other person, okay? And when you think about marriage, there is two commands, one for the man, one for the woman. The command for the woman is submit. The command for the man is sacrifice. Submission. And loving sacrifice. And both are yielding things. Now the man leads, but he leads by yielding and leading and loving and listening and yielding and loving and listening. But he's leading in such a kind way. It's almost irresistible. You say, well, who's leading that way? Jesus. And you see sparks of Jesus in your husband, right? You see flashes. You see him growing and changing. Remember, this class is not about marriage, right? What is it about? Yeah, your walk with God. We'll call it discipleship, right? This class is about discipleship. What is a disciple? Somebody tell me. Do we have a microphone? Is it up here, Marcel? Okay. What is a disciple? A student, a follower of Christ. Do you mind? By the way, you're going to need to replace this. It's getting low. So what does a student have to do? I'll give you a hint. It's in the title of what we're talking about today. They have to listen. How should we listen? Just to parrot back facts? There should be intention. There should be, everybody say humility. Say humility. Do you struggle with humility? Every day. So you're going to struggle with listening. Because most of the time we don't want to listen. We just want to state our opinion all day long. Right? And there's a time and a place for that. But God in marriage, if he's calling you to marriage, he's calling you to discipleship. He's calling you to singleness. He's calling you to discipleship. And especially in marriage, he's calling you to listen. Now, a wife's call to listen to her husband is wrapped up in her command to submit. And remember why a woman submits to a man. Is it because he's worthy? Is it because he leads well? Why do we submit? Is it because he's better than you, or he's more important than you, or he's higher ranking than you? His responsibility is to provide and protect, but you submit to him not because he's worthy, but because you are communicating through your submission the submission of Jesus Christ to the Father. That's according to the Word. And just as Christ submits to the Father, so you are to submit to your husband. Is Christ less than God? No, he's equal in power and glory. If you don't believe that, you're not a Christian. That's the Trinity. And the Spirit and the Father and the Son, they're all equal in power and glory. Okay, so when if I were to own a company and I were to tell my employees, you need to obey and you need to submit, how do you think they would take it? Pretty badly, because it's rude and insulting, right? So I wouldn't tell your wife that, husbands. At least in that tone. But if I go to my business and I say, you know what, you need to listen to what I'm saying and follow instructions. Not only is that reasonable, but that is vital for prosperity in business. You have to follow instructions. You have to listen. And so when you think of it in that way, it's not demeaning in any way, because we need to follow. Now, there are caveats, okay? There are healthy marriages and there are destructive marriages. In a destructive marriage, one spouse or the other, often it's the man, just abuses his authority. And ladies, you need to hear me. You should not submit to that. You should not put yourself in an abusive or violent situation. Now, do men, all of us men, struggle and sometimes lose our temper and sometimes lose control? Does that happen from time to time? Sad to say, but it does. But that's different than having a destructive marriage. Okay? So hear me now. Don't allow your husband, if you're in a destructive marriage, do not allow your husband to twist the Bible to make himself God, because he's not. But a godly, how do you know if you're in a destructive marriage or not? Your husband's willing to listen and do whatever it takes to get himself help and to hold himself accountable. If he's not willing, and usually an abusive person is not willing to get counsel. And if they are, they try to twist it. So you have to be careful. So just hear that. Hear my heart. But listening is an important expression of your submissiveness to your husband. Is it hard, ladies, is it hard to listen to your husband sometimes? Does he sometimes not have all the information when he's talking? Just like you sometimes don't have all the information, right? And so just remember that listening carefully is such a beautiful expression of your submission to your imperfect husband. What is submission for? Is it for your husband or is it for God? It's for God. But as much as a woman is called to listen to her husband and submit to her husband and follow him, there's a much higher expectation of the man. A man's not called to submit. A man is called to what? Sacrifice. He's called to give it all. His standard is the cross of Jesus Christ. Now let's think about a cross, all right? Some of you have a nice cross around your neck or on your ears, and it's gold and it's shiny. What was the cross that Jesus was put upon? What was that like? What preceded the cross? Did they whip him? Did they beat him? Did they rip his back to shreds? What did they do to his hands and his feet? What did they put on his head? A crown of thorns. They nailed his hands and feet. Think about that, men, when you feel entitled because of your authority. You're not called to entitlement. You're called to end your ambitions and go to your own funeral. That's what sacrifice looks like. It hurts. And men, when we talk about listening, the wife should listen to the husband. You know what, men? We all have a big mouth, don't we? Especially when we talk to our wives, we think we can talk to them in any way that we want. And that is wrong. One of the best ways you can sacrifice for your wife is not to say everything that's on your mind. And to edify with your words. Okay. So, but I want to now talk about, just for a few minutes before we have to come to a close, a man's call to love his wife is demonstrated in 1 Peter 3:7. Can someone look at 1 Peter 3:7? It's on page 3 in the right after it says a husband's call to listen to his wife. Can someone read that? Whoever has it, just start reading it and we'll get the microphone to you. Or just raise your hand. Do you have it, Cedric? Okay. Okay.
Since she is a woman, and grant her honor as fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered.
So there's every day a woman, if she's married, wants to share her heart with her husband. And the way she does that is sometimes it's messy, right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sometimes it's messy. And men don't want to listen. They want to fix it. They don't want to listen. They just want to fix it. And the whole point of a woman, they call it the chatty gene, okay? And women somehow have that more than men. It's not that that men don't have that. There's plenty of men that won't be quiet. But a woman needs to communicate in order to connect. And men, most men don't want to connect. They feel connected already. They'll connect with their arm around you or, watch a Cubs game or a Sox game together. How romantic, you know. But they want to talk, and they need to talk. And the Bible says that you need to listen to her and not try to tell her to calm down or that she's wrong. Or if she would think like a man, she wouldn't have to boil over, you know. You don't want her to think like a man. She's doing this so that you can dwell with her in an understanding way. God put that in her so that you could get to know her heart. And sometimes she's afraid. Our women, she's a woman, it says here. She's a weaker vessel. She's a precious vase. Sometimes my temptation is to pressure my wife. So I'll say, honey, I want to do A, B, and C. And she's like, I'm already doing A, B, C, and D, and I don't have room for E, F, and G. Or whatever. I didn't do well in school. But you know what I have done in the past? Can you guess? Pressure her. Well, you know, we're called servants of Jesus, right? Aren't we all servants of Jesus? We're his slaves, in a sense, right? We're to do whatever he says, even when we don't feel like it. How well do you think that lecture goes with my wife? It doesn't go well at all. Because I'm called to sacrifice, right? And I'm supposed to protect her above all people on planet Earth. And I'm supposed to put her first and honor her according to this. So I need to listen. And when she says A, B, and C, I can't do your A, B, and C because I already have my own A, B, and C. I need to listen to that and take that seriously. Men, is that hard? Are we strong enough that we can manipulate our own way in that? Yes, but we need to yield. We need to sacrifice. So what does it mean to understand? First of all, women talk differently than men. Women usually are more gentle in what they say. So your wife may frame a question like, does the trash can look full to you? Does the trash can look full to you? Why, yes, it does, dear. Why don't you take it out? Good answer or bad answer? Okay. A man would just say, take out the trash. Could you take out the trash? But a woman is not to push herself forward. And she doesn't want to overstep her husband. And so she may say it in a question. Is the laundry basket full there? Yes, husband. That's a signal to pick it up and carry it down the stairs for her. Why don't you do it weekly when you see that instead of waiting for her to kind of remind you? You see what I'm saying? There's a difference. And we as men tend to have really big egos. And we get offended so easily. Anyone in the whole world can tell us anything. And we have huge shoulders and we're like, you know, the Incredible Hulk, you know. But inside our homes, we are so sensitive, overly sensitive. And God designed it that way. Somebody put it like this. It's like a tank. On the outside, it can take anything. On the inside, there's all these little buttons everywhere. And she's on the inside. So there's plenty of areas of understanding. And, some of these things are hot button issues. Does anybody have hot button issues? And what happens about hot button issues? We've talked about it. It hasn't ended right. And now we don't want to talk about it. You need to talk with each other about your hot button issues when it's not turmoil and chaos at 3 o'clock in the morning. And be ready and realize that there are hot button issues. But your wife is called a weaker vessel. Somebody translated it a fragile vase. I love that translation. Every woman is a fragile vase. She needs your care. Well, you say, well, I want to listen. I want to honor my wife. And that's exactly what Peter says. He says, if you don't dwell with her in an understanding way, what's going to happen? Your prayers are going to be hindered. And so you need to listen. Hindered means that if you're not right with your wife, you're not right with God. And it says that you need to honor her as a precious vase, as a weaker vessel. She's not like you. She can't just get over it. Okay, guys? A woman, it takes her a long time to heal. And she's not like, you can't tell her she has an unforgiving spirit because she has a hard time forgiving you. Because she takes longer to heal. Just because you can get over it in 2 seconds, men, doesn't mean you're more spiritual than her. If you can get over it, then you should use the strength that you have not to shun her and shame her because she won't forgive you, but you give her a place where she can heal. When she's hurting, she doesn't need you to shun her and shame her. She needs you to hold her and pray over her and talk to her and be very, very humble. All the men say humble. Say humble. Yeah, that's what we need to be. It's hard. Let me just close with this. And next week we'll go into barriers to good listening. And this is a lot of new material. And then strategies for good listening. I really want to get into that. There's so much in the Proverbs and in the wisdom literature. But let's just close by ways a husband may honor his wife. Be sensitive to her needs. If you ask, what is it she needs? Then listen carefully and be ready to give time to her. If she looks like something's wrong and you say, what's wrong? That's a key for her to give her burdens to you. Listen to her. What's wrong for a man often means stop being upset. That's usually what it means for a man. What's wrong? In other words, get in line. That's not what you're called to. You're called to dwell with your wife in what kind of a way? An understanding way. So when you say what's wrong, you need to sincerely ask that question and be ready to listen. Let your actions as well as your words show her respect. Don't sit in front of the TV while she washes the dishes, picks up after the kids, and gets them to bed. She's more than mommy, maid, cook, and nurse. She's your wife. And she's a fragile vase. When she's exhausted, and you should help her and be ready to listen. And show, pay her attention when she talks to you. Put down the paper. Look her in her eyes. Respond with more than monosyllables. Talk to her in loving tones. Be cheerful when, even when she's upset and she's needing to decompress. Every woman, every day needs to decompress, right? And she can do that with her mom or with her friends, but if she's married, she needs to do that with you. Do not speak harshly to her. Never tear her down, especially in public. You know, if she's having a hard time, why do you always have to do this when we're here? Do we do that, husbands? We shame them. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're to put our arms around her and say, this will pass. This too will pass. We're going to get through this. It's just you're sick. You're way behind in all the things you wanted to accomplish that day or that week. And plus the refrigerator went out and the air conditioning needs fixed. And your husband's like, no problem, we'll fix it. But the wife is thinking all the consequences, and she's very intricate, and it's all connected. And until that thing is fixed, she doesn't feel secure, and she can't breathe. So understand that God gave you a weaker vessel, and so don't speak harshly to her, and accept her feelings. Accept her feelings, okay? You will not understand them. But part of honoring your wife is honoring her feelings. And, you know, you don't, probably not a good idea to say, you know, honey, there, you shouldn't feel that way. Or that's silly to feel that way. That's not a good idea to say that. Men, have you said that before? How has that worked for you? Very badly. You know, when she's feeling out of control, probably a thing to say is not control yourself. The best thing you can do is just encourage her. Tell her it's going to be okay. Give her the space if she needs to vent to you. Let her vent. Do not compare her unfavorably with someone else. That's a bad idea. Well, you know, my mother never did this to my father. Well, number one, you don't know that. Well, you know, so-and-so at church. Oh, stop right there. Well, my family, don't go there either. Bad idea. Well, none of my girlfriends, stop, and stop again. Girlfriends, I mean, none of my friends' wives, not girlfriends, but none of my friends' wives do this. Listen, when you speak all the time, you say strange things. And then never do anything to betray her trust. Never speak the word divorce. Never use threats. Unfaithfulness is something that it will take her a long time to get over. Accept her for who she is and be faithful to her. All right, that's all we have time for. Next week, we'll talk about a strategy for listening. Take this home, study it. Is everybody going to read this week? Read it, take it in, get ready to talk about it. We're going to have a lot more dialogue next week. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this time that we can look at your word. Help us to listen and be good disciples of Jesus. Amen.